This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 408.5, up 1. May corn, 416.5, up 3 quarters. July corn, 422.5, up 1. January soybeans, 1039.5, down 7 and 3 quarters. March soybeans, 1046, down 7 and 3 quarters. May soybeans, 1051, down 8.5. March wheat, 619, up 12.5. May wheat, 621.25, up 12.5. July wheat, 620.25, up 12.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Monday afternoon. Corn got a boost from an increase in unplanted acreage, while soybeans was pushed lower by a lower-than-expected November crush report, and wheat advanced on a slower wheat harvest in eastern Europe. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 2 cents lower at 368 to 389. Soybean bids were mostly 8 to 11 lower at 997 to 1029. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly a penny higher at 371 to 394, while soybean bids were down 7 to 8 cents at 1014 to 1052. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to a penny higher at 368 to 396, soybean bids down 7 to 8 at 1020 to 1055, while the wheat bids were up 12 to 13 at 530 to 599. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 cents lower at 1040 to 1050, soybean basis unchanged at ranging from option to 10 over the January. iPro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $400.40 to $420.40 per ton. That's down $6.60 to $16.60 per ton lower, with basis 5 to 15 lower, ranging from 35 to 55 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids a penny higher at $4 to $4.09, with basis steady, range from 9 under to option March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quartered producer corn bids 3 to 4 higher at 382 to 391, with basis up 2 to 3 cents at 27 to 18 under the March. Soybeans ended 6 to 7 cents lower at 1050 to 1054, with basis up 1 to 2 cents at 10 to 14 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at 403 to 404. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 5 to 10 cents, with quotations at 1080 to 1082. Soft red winter wheat down 12 cents at 613 to 639, while the Milo ended a penny lower at 464 to 469. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 386 up to 403. New crop soybean bids range from 947 to 977. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 387 up to 403. New crop soybean bids at 967 to 987. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 365 up to 403. New crop soybean bids at 948 to 982. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 568 up to 590. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 161.97, down 7 cents. February live cattle, 161.75, down 42 cents. April live cattle, 161.10, down 30 cents. January feeder cattle, 222.60, down $3. March feeder cattle, 218.25, down $3. April feeder cattle, 218.10, down $3. February lean hogs, 83.27, up 2 cents. April lean hogs, 84.82, up 47 cents. May lean hogs, 88.70, down 30 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.07 lower in the range of $75 to $82, with the weighted average carcass price of $79.99. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 to $4 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 43 to 53, 4 to 5 weights 47 to 57, 5 to 6 weights 54 to 60, and 6 weights and up 55 to 61. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 to $4 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $52 to $56. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,284 head. And now for the Greenville Special Bred Cow Auction. They had receipts of 586 head. Bred cows, medium and large one, first stage young, were 1,900 to 2,600. Medium and large second stage young were 2,275 to 2,850. Large third stage young were 2,300 to $3,000. Bred cows, large second stage young, were 2,450 to 2,700. Large second stage middle age were 1,725 to 2,600. Large third stage young were 2,750 to 3,300. And large third stage middle age, 2,200 to 2,950. Large third staged aged, $1,550 to $1,600. They also had some cow-calf pairs, medium and large one, middle age, $2,150 to $3,000. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 263 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $93.46. And that was 91 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $245.52, that was 49 cents higher, with select carcasses at $234.67, that was 57 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 112,000. That compared to 111,000 last week and 120,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000, that compared to 430,000 last week and 436,000 a year ago. Now for the report from the Hamilton's Madison County Hay Auction. They had receipts of 3,136 bales, starting with the alfalfa premium quality. Large rounds were selling for $81 a bale. Small squares, $4.50. Alfalfa grass premium quality small squares, $5.90. Mixed grass small squares, $4.50. And orchard grass, good quality large rounds were $41 a bale. Reed's canary grass, fair quality large rounds, $34 a bale. Wheat straw, good quality small squares, $3.50. And large rounds, $30.50. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Hamilton's hay auction took place this past weekend. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for an update on the auction.
Well, Angela, we had very heavy offerings with a moderate buying crowd. We ended up with 2,830 small squares. We had 778 bales of alfalfa, and it was in a price range from $360 to $450 a bale. Ended up with 624 bales of alfalfa grass from $2 to top of $5.90 on some really nice hay. We ended up with 700 bales of mixed grass. It was from $2 to $4.50 a bale. Had 728 bales of straw, and it was from $2 to $3.50. Most of it was in the $3.10 to $3.20 range. Ended up with 100 3x3 bales. We had 17 bales of alfalfa at $48. Ended up with 81 bales of just mixed grass from $36 to $40 a bale. In the round bales, we had 260 bales of those. We had 64 bales of alfalfa. and we had some rained on hay at 22, and we had some premium round bales at $81. Most of it was from $50 to $81 per bale. Had 14 bales of alfalfa grass at $31. We had 20 bales of orchard grass from $35 to $41 a bale. 90 bales of mixed grass from $18 to $37.50. We had 32 bales of straw, round bales of straw at $30.50. We had 32 bales of reed canary at $34. And we had about 8 bales of corn stalks at $33.
Well, it sounds like you are having an excellent amount of variety and also of just quantity.
Yeah, if there's anybody needing hay or wanting to stock up, this is definitely the time to do it. Just talking to different shippers, they've all got barns full and they're really wanting to get them cleaned out. So I kind of suspect this kind of run is to continue on for the next couple months.
All right, very good. And if anyone has any questions, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me anytime at 618-410-4293.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton of Hamilton's Hay Auction. There's been some speculation on what approach Governor-elect Bruce Rauner will take to some different issues, including transportation funding. I spoke with President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, for some insights.
Governor-elect Rauner, of course, he takes office in, a month from today. And Governor Rauner has got a lot of transition people working, looking at a lot of issues, looking at a lot of ideas. One of the big issues, of course, which has been an issue that has never gone away, is transportation funding, infrastructure funding. When I say infrastructure, I just don't mean roads and bridges. We also talk about how do we deal with waterways. We talk about rail and actually how all these work together to move goods and services in Illinois. You know, transportation is the backbone, really, of the Illinois economy. Agriculture depends on it heavily. You name the business. They need a good infrastructure to be able to move everything. And we have on both the federal and state level, kind of let it lag. No one really seems to have the political willpower or the will, I should say, to look at the funding issue. You know, the bottom line is we have not increased funding for transportation in 20 years. Congress hasn't done it on the federal level. Illinois General Assembly hasn't done it on the state level. So as a result, we still have, we still have a relatively low motor fuel tax. We do in Illinois. And that motor fuel tax hasn't changed 20 years. And as a result, the amount of money that's coming in has pretty much stayed the same because cars are getting better fuel mileage. There may be more cars on the road, but they get better mileage. Thus, they burn less fuel. So we've got to come up with some sort of a situation or some sort of a plan that we can adequately fund, at least keep the bridges from falling apart, you know, keep the pavement from falling apart. And then, so we don't have these issues either on the interstate, on state highways, on local roads. There's been a lot of discussion going on right now about, what's going to happen in the future. You know, the governor's going to have to be the one to kind of lead the charge on this and then to get the legislature to buy in on it. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about a motor fuel tax increase. There's also talk about a tax on, you know, alternative fuel vehicles that don't pay a motor fuel tax. You know, you got electric vehicles out there. You got vehicles running on natural gas, those types of things. You know, they pretty much put as much wear and tear on the roadways as anybody else. So we got to deal with how we're going to put them on the par with everyone who pays in a motor fuel tax. There's also talk about, a lot of money that's collected on the motor fuel tax goes into the general funds. It's never used for transportation purposes. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And a lot of discussion about, hey, how do we get some of that money back and put it where it belongs, but back into the road funds? And then also there's been some talk about alternative forms of taxation. One that probably doesn't sit too well downstate Illinois is a thing called the vehicle mile tax. That basically is a tax that would be imposed on a vehicle for every mile it travels, and then you pay a tax. And you know that is one that a few groups are pushing. It's not it has not been received well, because in fact a VMT on a state level just doesn't work, because you can't capture vehicles out of state, you can't capture trucks going through the state. What happens to an Illinois car that travels out of state, You know, all sorts of things. I mean, that you just cannot effectively work a vehicle mile tax on a statewide basis. It may work nationally, but it's not going to work on a state basis.
And it would definitely be unfair to those who live in rural areas as opposed to a large city.
Well, you would basically say, okay, I live here, you know, in Macoupin, Montgomery County, Sangamon County, what have you, and I may have to drive 20, 30, 40 miles a day to work. I may have to drive, you know, 10, 12 miles to school. I mean, that's not uncommon in this part of the state. It's not uncommon for someone to drive 45, 50 miles to work. They may work down in the Metro East area. They may work in Springfield. They may work at the hospital, state government, what have you. So you would be taxed then based on the total number of miles you drive. That's kind of a hard sell downstate when, you know, maybe people in Chicago, number one, they don't have a car. They take mass transit. They may, you know, they may drive 2 to 3 miles, you know, a week, you know, to go to the grocery store. Or they may travel, you know, they may travel a lot less than we do downstate, because downstate inherently, number one, we don't have mass transit. Number two, we're spread out. I mean, we have to travel. We have to drive to get to certain places, to go to the grocery store, school, see the doctor, what have you. So it's entirely different. But, you know, it would effectively penalize the, you know, those people outside of the Chicago area. And you know, when you pay your motor fuel tax anyway, part of that goes to subsidize mass transit. So you can see what the feeling would be downstaters, knowing that they would be paying a VMT to help subsidize mass transit in Chicago. And in the Chicago area, they pay very little VMT because they don't drive a vehicle. So that's a tough sell.
I'm sure there would be many calling their representatives.
You know, VMT is one. I mean, if you looked at a VMT, though, and you say, okay, we're going to do away with the motor fuel tax and use a VMT instead, you know, and you do it on a national level, that may be a valid situation. It's a lot more fair. But for groups to come back and say we're going to put a VMT in place just for the state of Illinois, we don't see how it can work. You know, other states have tried to do this. Oregon has tried to do it. They can't get their program off the ground. California has looked at it, and that's about it. They've looked at it for, I think, 7 years now, and they haven't figured out a way to do it. The upfront cost to put it together, the administrative cost for a state to do it are just, it's off the walls. So you're going to hear a lot more about VMT, vehicle mile tax. You're going to hear that people are going to come back and say, well, this is a more fair and equitable way to raise money for transportation. But don't let them fool you that it may be a good issue to deal with when it's equitable on a national level, but it's no way is it equitable. And it's impossible to put together on a state level. It just doesn't work.
And I think that is another thing to remember, is that you have to put the infrastructure in place for doing a VMT where we already have it done for a motor fuel tax.
Exactly. That's 100% correct. The fact is that we have the mechanism in place. And until the federal government decides how we're going to institute a national tax or some sort of other funding mechanism, then, you know, for the state to try to do it, it just doesn't work.
Despite the cloud of uncertainty hovering over the Illinois transportation funding, there is one thing truckers can count on for certain this upcoming year, and it involves a change in the hours of service.
In the spending bill, which was a $1 trillion spending bill, that's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
The spending bill included a provision in there that had to deal with trucking. It's a big one. If you drive a truck, you'll know that under the new hours of service regulations that went into effect about 2 years ago, the requirement went in there that you had to take a mandatory time off period of 34 hours. And then you had to do it over a 2-day period. And you couldn't start back on the road again until 5 a.m. on the second day.
Now, was the mandatory 34 hours off, was that after a certain time period of being on the road, or
yeah,
was that total for a week?
No, well, it's basically, yeah, you're given, you know, you can drive your 70 hours or whatever that's traditionally been there, but it mandates that you have to take an entire 34 hours off, and then before you can restart your clock to start doing everything again, which is different than what we had in the past, which was a lot more flexible for people who drove. What's happened, though, is that this rule, as it's been in place now for 2 years, has really disrupted the way that companies and truck operators can make deliveries when they go on the road, and really forces them into situations where they get more than enough rest, maybe too much rest. And the fact is that they could be back out on the road, but the law doesn't allow them to do it. So basically what it's done, it's hurt the truck driver, it's hurt the delivery schedules, and it basically has had a negative impact on the economy somewhat, because of the fact that the way these schedules are set up, you can't make deliveries. It costs more to do it at certain times, and it's been a mess.
Right. That sounds like it would have been a scheduling nightmare.
Well, it was a scheduling nightmare, and a lot of companies found out real quick what kind of a scheduling nightmare it was. Because you had some companies where drivers would be on, they'd be on duty for four days. They'd take 3 days off. They'd be on for 4 days. They would be on a rotating schedule. That way, if they make deliveries for like milk, or like they make deliveries for gasoline, stuff that has to be delivered every day no matter what, at least, those kind of schedules, people could be off on weekends. At least every other weekend, they'd have it off, because you'd work 4 days on, 3 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. Still work the same amount of hours, but just the way it was scheduled, so everyone would get a fair time off. These regulations, you can't do it that way. So it's been a scheduling nightmare for enough people out there that they're more than happy to see this change. And basically what it says is that Congress is telling USDOT, hey, go back, take a look at this, come back with a new idea, and bring it back to us in a couple of months, and let's see if we can work this out so that it makes the hours of service that every trucker has to follow. Just make sure it's fair and equitable.
Well, very good. Well, I bet a lot of people are really happy to see this coming to fruition.
Well, a lot of over-the-road truckers do, and a lot of people who, not just over-the-road, but people who drive anywhere but are subject to the hours of service regulations. It really has been a pain for them to try to comply with.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.